Hi, welcome to the Community Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jen, your host through all things Greendale, and today we're going to be talking about what is maybe one of the biggest character studies in Community episodes. We are talking about virtual systems analysis, which features some really, really great Abed and Annie-centric content. And you notice that I said we, and that's because I've got a very special guest with me today. Katrina, hello.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you got to be on this pod. I was on yours, and it's only fitting that we like pod swap. But I'm very excited because I know you wanted to talk about this episode when I kind of put out calls for like, hey, who wants to talk about this thing? So I'm excited to talk about this with you and to dive into all of the character depth of it and the dreamatorium of it all. But before we do that, as is customary, I'm going to give you our plot recap, our community quotes of the episode. Yeah, y'all have heard this so much, I've just stopped picking one. And then we'll dive into your questions, because a lot of you submitted listener questions for this, and I'm very excited about it. Our plot for virtual systems analysis is basically as follows. The entire group gets a 3-hour lunch break, and so they decide what they should do with their lunch hour. Annie's been sensing a little bit of a Troy and Britta flirtation, so she decides to take over Troy's space in the Dreamatorium with Abed so that she can set up Britta and Troy to go spend their lunch together while the rest of the group disperses and does their own thing. So literally this episode is pretty much just Abed and Annie in the Dreamatorium. And we start to unpack a lot about Annie and Abed's personalities, how Abed and Annie are both dealing with some things that happened this year. And basically we get a deep character study into both of them. And that's what you missed on Community. The Community quotes of the episode are as follows. Oh my gosh. The incredible Academy Award winning Jim Rash comes in at the very beginning of this episode with an outfit that we will talk about in a little bit. But his quote to the study group is, "Can I be perfectly honest with you? I think I went too far with this one. I have to go to the bank today. What am I supposed to tell people in line? I had good news and bad news. Come on, Craig, get your life together," which is just so good. And then the other one is from Jeff, sort of. It's Abed as Jeff in the Dreamatorium, but Jeff is talking to Annie and he says, "Damn our 2-foot height disparity," which I just think is hilarious because Joel really is very tall. So there you go. Those are what you missed on Community and the Community quotes of the episode. But Katrina, since this is your first time on the podcast, I'd like to hear a little bit about your Community journey. How did you hear about and fall in love with the show?
So I heard about the show through a friend of mine, and like he just kept saying how great it was, how they would have all the pop culture references from like when we were coming up, and I checked it out and I loved it. I don't know, maybe because I'm old, I can't remember the exact episode that I watched the very first time, because it's over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been watching ever since. And I mean, I even found like something that I posted on Facebook like 10 years ago.
Yes.
It was like the intro into political science. And I was talking about, well, I need to get my own catchphrase now. And like, I had like just comments like from my friend who introduced me to the show, and he was trying to help me come up with a catchphrase, which it never happened, but
darn. Missed opportunity. Oh, that's so fun. I do stumble across that, and I like to share those when I find them, of like live tweeting like the actual episodes when they air. And so like, again, yeah, because it was like 10 years ago now, I'm like, oh, this is what I thought when I was watching the episode for the first time, because sometimes I don't remember, like it's been 10 years, I don't remember how I felt the first time I watched things in season 2 and beyond sometimes. But that's really fun. But I wanted to get your thoughts real quick about like, what were your thoughts the first time you watched this episode specifically, if you remember, like general feelings or thoughts about it?
Well, I think I was against Troy and Britta dating from the start. And even though like the flirting was cute, like I felt like Britta wasn't really in a place to be in a relationship. I mean, the episode before, she was trying to get with that horrible guy.
Oh my gosh, Blade.
Yeah. And then like Troy wrote something really nice, and then she was just like, oh, well, he's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, especially if this was real life, I would be telling my friend, like, you need to work on you right now. Like, you don't get into a relationship with, like, a friend right now. Like, you need to work on yourself a little bit.
On yourself.
Yeah. I think also, like, I remember, like, the line about Abed really being good. Looks like he has the body for yoga. And I was just like, that would be so cool. Like, like Danny Pudi had like a yoga thing that he would just do. And like, I would pay monthly for that. Like, I'm pretty cheap, but like, I would pay monthly to do yoga with him.
Heck yeah.
Online. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, so I would have to go back. I meant to do this and I didn't because life, but I was writing reviews at this time because I had started writing them at the very beginning of season 3. And I remember, like, up until this point in the show, I hadn't written anything longer than Virtual Systems Analysis. Like, once I had Virtual Systems Analysis, I had so much to say about it. Because we will talk about it. It does a lot of heavy emotional lifting, and especially because it just really focuses on Abed and Annie. It does a lot of work, and I know that we'll get to it about talking about Annie and Jeff's relationship and, like, Abed and control, because that's, like, a huge thing. Season 3 is very Abed-centric. Like, I knew that while watching it initially, but while rewatching, I've realized I've had a lot of the same conversations as we're dissecting season 3, especially as we get toward the end of it. I wasn't, like, as on board with Troy and Britta as I think I was with Jeff and Annie, because anyone who listens to this knows that I was on board with Jeff and Annie. But I was like, oh, they're kind of cute. I think if the show would have done them better, I would have appreciated it more. But, like,
maybe.
I kind of like, I love at the end of, you know, Origins of Vampire Mythology, like, she looks over. And I love that, you know, we're going to get that toward the end where he tells her, you're not the worst, you're the best. So we're going to get a little bit more of that. But I just wish we would have had, I think, a little bit more lead up to Troy and Britta. But this one is a good kind of starting point, I think, for them. Before we dive into all of the emotional stuff that happens, though, in this episode, I want to talk about something that I brought up in our community quote of the episode, which is, can we please talk about Academy Award winner Jim Rash's might be most iconic look from the show? Because if you will recall, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, this is his, I have good news and bad news. And even Jeff is like, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, I love Joel's, like, reaction as Jeff in that moment. Thoughts?
So I just was just thinking about how they put that outfit together because it just flowed so nicely. And I was thinking, you know, if the Dean really did put this together, like, can he sew? Like, how did he get that together? Does he have, like, a person that he, like, goes to and is like, I need this for this and this for this?
It's like Annie's got like a binder person. Yeah. And, like, Dean Pellin has, like, a costume person.
Yeah. And I lost it when he called it. He's like, I left my putting on a Ritz cane. Like, but you know what? I'm like, what name? Like, what would that cane be called? I don't know. But I like putting on a Ritz cane.
I do like that. I think it's just hilarious. Like, it's so funny in the moment. And then, like, the quote that I said was, like, even more hilarious because he comes back into the room after, like, they have dispersed. And he's like, guys, I think I took it too far this time. Like, I have to go to the bank. He's like, I have to go to the bank today. Like, and also the thought that, like, he would keep this on, like, he wouldn't go home and change before he went to the bank. Like, this is his rationale, is that he would just go straight to the bank because he had too much to do. And I do love that he, like, talks to himself in the third person, because I 100% have had that conversation with me. I'm like, come on, Jed, pull it together.
Yeah.
Come on, Craig, get your life together. And I just think it's hilarious. I cannot get over the fact that this is someone who has an Oscar and they have him do stuff like this in this show. It's just so great, guys.
He does it so well.
He does. He just makes it look so effortless and hilarious. So anyway, Academy Award winner, Jim Rash, we appreciate you. We see you.
Yes.
So this is a very Abed-centric episode, obviously. We spent the last half of the season really examining Abed's controlling personality, and like that has nearly damaged himself and the rest of the group. That's one of the things that, you know, we didn't talk about this. We didn't do a whole episode on contemporary impressionists, but like that's pretty much the crux of contemporary impressionists, is where you've got Troy trying to pick up the pieces of things that Abed is unwilling to do. And so there are consequences to that, and there are consequences to Abed's actions. In this episode, however, he says something that is really interesting that I want to talk about, because he notices that Annie tries to set up Troy and Britta, and he says that she's tampering with the fabric of the group. So I wanted to talk about that in light of the things that Abed has done this season. Like, what do you think about that? What do you think about the point that he made there?
So, because I've heard that phrase, tampering with the fabric of the group, like that episode, I think, was it the second season?
Yeah, because it was the Paradigms of the Human Memory is where they kind of talk about that, about, oh, you're messing around with the group and the dynamics.
Yeah. But like, I feel like that's kind of like what the group is. It's like it's all like messing with things, changing things up. That's like what they are. But and it's always like scary and, you know, not really knowing how to like deal with it.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because of the fact that he says tampering with the fabric. Like, it's something that, like, it's not like he's messing. And again, we'll get to this in season five. Like, Abed catfishes, straight up catfishes Annie in season five.
Yeah.
Puts trackers on people. Like,
yeah,
that's messing with the fabric of the group. Okay. Like, that is literally messing with people's lives. This, on the other hand, I think that, you know, tampering with the fabric of the group, Abed, and we'll talk about this in a little bit down the line, is the crux of it is relationships. Like, those are the things that Abed has admitted that he doesn't quite understand. And that's totally okay. But I think that he thinks that because of everything that happened in season two and all of that jazz, that, you know, Annie trying to get Troy and Britta together is somehow messing with the way that things are, the status quo, the way things should be. And I don't think I agree with Abed. I can see why he would tell her that she's, or why he would see it that way.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting because we'll get into it, but like Abed is pretty controlling. Like, he messes with the fabric of the group too, just like maybe in not the romantic sense that Annie was going for.
Right.
But I mean, I have this whole episode really is about control. Like, it's about Abed, and which is really interesting because of the fact that Abed and Annie don't often get put into stories together, just the two of them. It's usually like hilarious shenanigans with Abed, Troy, and Annie and all of that. But when you really see them in conflict, it's very interesting because they are pretty similar. So there's our first listener question is from Widino. Does Abed ever learn his lesson about how trying to control people doesn't work and is wrong? And my follow-up question to that would be, do we think that Annie learns her lesson about how trying to control other people doesn't work and is wrong? Katrina, thoughts on if Abed and or Annie learned their lessons?
I feel like Abed did like, you know, looking at the episodes after that, like History 101 in season four, like he didn't try to control it, but like instead he kind of went into his own little world, which wasn't the best, but I think he was trying to make an effort, like, I can't do this, but like, but I need to calm myself down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in Conventions of Space and Time, you know, he didn't argue with Britta about Minerva, the woman inspector.
Yeah.
He just kind of like, you know, let it go. So I don't know. I feel like he tried to, but like you said, you mentioned those things about like the tracker things.
Yeah.
But like, I do think he learned from that and tried to be better. And I would say the same for Annie too.
That
Learn from that.
Yeah. I would say that this is kind of one of those turning point episodes, I think, for Abed in season three. I think we've seen a lot in season three so far about controlling. And we talked about that when we talked about digital exploration of interior design and pillows and blankets, about Abed's desire for control above like letting Troy have a little bit of control or say or compromise. Because I really think that was the biggest thing, is what Abed struggles with. And in that episode, it's not entirely resolved necessarily. But I think in this episode, Abed does, he is forced a little bit more to see his the effect that his actions have on people, and specifically Annie. And I think that that is why it's so important that theirs is the story together, because of the fact that Troy, as much as we love Troy, up until like digital exploration, he, or like contemporary impressionists a little bit before that, he kind of enables Abed to do things. And that's not always a bad thing, because there are a lot of times where the group really does need to like lean into Abed, and Troy's the one who understands him well enough to be able to communicate Abed's wants and needs to the group and like why he's doing things. And especially when we get to like Troy's departure in season five, like we really, I think that point is where Abed has really grown to see like he's not playing a game. He's trying to get everyone to understand how he sees the world and what he sees and feels. So it's not about control in that instance. It's about trying to express how he feels. And I think in this one, it's about being like, I'm not okay with anyone changing anything, which makes sense because he's gone through a lot of stuff this year. But I think he does learn to loosen a little bit. I think it's still one of those things that the show tended to go back to when like they needed a source of conflict. It was like, well, Abed just sees the world through this meta lens and here you go. That's the conflict. And I think that, I think he genuinely like actually understood what Annie was communicating though. Like, I think we see that in this episode at the very end, their resolution. And for Annie, I think it's a really important glimpse, and we'll get to it later, about Annie's perspective in season three and the way that she's seeing things. And I do think that you see her loosening control, because this was never like her whole storyline in this episode is not about control for her. It's about like, it's about learning to let go in a way. And yeah, there's a little bit of control involved there, because she's like, I just, you know, I thought it would be cute, like if we set Troy and Britta up. But it's not about her trying to like, I don't know, blackmail Chang so that she, you know, like the whole group can stay together. Like, we've come very far from that, Annie. And I like that we get a chance to see some of Annie's inner working. So to answer your question, what do you know? I think we both think that Abed and Annie grew in this episode. Do they regress sometimes? Yeah. But ultimately, I think this was a step toward the right direction. One of the interesting things, though, that I think that Annie says in this episode to Abed, and it's toward the very beginning, is you don't have a patent on being a control freak, Abed. But Abed insists that he does. Is this the first time we've really seen Annie refuse to bend to Abed's whims most of the episode? After all, it's a battle of the most controlling personalities in the group, if you really think about it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I kept trying to go back. I couldn't really think of when it was like at least the whole episode where she, you know, refused, like honestly, in like, you know, I call it the modern movement or the Annie's move episode, like, you know, towards the end, she's just like, hey, I'm not sleeping in this thing here. Like, you know, I need a room. So, I mean, that was like her stand ups out of it. But other than that, I couldn't really think of another time. Could you?
Yeah, no, I couldn't either. I was like trying to think about that. I was like, when is there a time that Annie's really kind of just been like, no, I'm not doing this? Cause like, this is very defiant Annie in this episode where she's like, I'm done. And I couldn't think of it. Cause like the first thing that comes to mind when it, like Abed and Annie is like the storyline in Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, where her and Troy are the last ones to stay. And they're the ones who are like creating this world. And even in, you know, episodes like Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism, where she's just kind of like, she doesn't want to upset Abed. Like that's the whole point of the story, is she doesn't want to make Abed mad. So she's going to do whatever it takes, even if it's completely insane and Troy's the one who's like, this is insane. And she's like, I'm taking it too far because I don't want to make Abed mad. And this is maybe one of the first times I think that we've seen Annie kind of go, I don't care if you're mad. Like, you need to learn how to care about other people and be empathetic. And I'm mm-hmm. not going to sit here and let you talk down to me because everyone, just because everyone lets you do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think this is probably the first time that we've really seen her put her foot down. And of course, Troy tells her that that's a bad idea. Of course, she's like, no, it'll be fine. And of course, that hilarious little Alison Brie's delivery of, oh my God, I broke Albin.
Yeah.
is really funny. But I mean, I just think it's so fascinating that there hasn't really been, up until season 3, an episode where we see Abed and Annie clash, because they really are the most controlling of the study group, if you really think about it, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's real fun to watch that. It's also real hard to watch that, because in that sense, they bring out not great qualities of each other. Mm-hmm. While this episode does resolve really nicely, I do feel like I remember while watching it, like, this is a lot for, like, these two characters. This is really hard to watch them be this way to each other. But I mean, while this episode is obviously an intense character study on Abed, it's also like a cross-examination of Annie, which I love. So let's talk a little bit about, what are your thoughts? Let's break down the way that Abed sees Annie in this episode and the way that Annie sees Abed as the episode starts and as it progresses. Okay. Where do they get it right? Where did they get it wrong, in your opinion? What are your thoughts?
So, you know, Abed obviously sees Annie as like a hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, that one episode, like when she liked, was it Rich? And
yes.
She was like making the I Love Butterflies.
Why are you voice. I Heart Butterflies voice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, and I love that they did that, like, doctor skit thing. It was kind of like they were spoofing, like, Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Like, that's something hopeless romantics watch.
Yeah.
And then, like, when they were, like, in the scene where Jeff and Annie, well, I bet Jeff and Annie are going back and forth, and he's like, I left my wife for you. And she's like, what do you think is so to her? And it made me think, it's like, you know, hopeless romantics, like, I think, especially when you're young, Annie's young.
Yeah.
Like, you're only seeing that, oh, they want to be together. But, like, as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? This isn't love. This is awful. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're, like, making it, just because it's slow motion, they have this good music in the background and stuff as they're, like, making love or whatever. It's like, this situation is actually pretty horrible, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, Abed just sees, like, Annie, she's just, you know, wants love for love. And I mean, a little bit of that is true,
yeah,
in a way, but, like, kind of like, well, I know we'll get to that later, but, like, I think, like, in her heart, like, that's a big part of who she is, but that's not all she is.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that, like, strikes me the most about Abed, the way that Abed sees Annie in this episode, is that idea of, like, she's this hopeless romantic who, like, is driven by feelings and love, and that's why she does everything that she does, which she calls him out on later on, because she's like, no, that's not the reason why I did this. And it is kind of interesting that that's what he thinks of her, because at this point in the show, he's not just, like, someone that she met, you know, he's not someone that, you know, she, you know, is someone in his Spanish class. Like, he lives with her now. He knows her well enough to know that there's more to her than that. But it is interesting that, like, he zeroes in on the one thing that, like, he has difficulty understanding.
Yeah.
And he makes it her whole identity. And while it's true that Annie is very driven by, like, relationships, and not in a bad way, not like in a, oh, she's boy crazy or whatever, she just is a very relational person. Like, it's very important to her because she doesn't have family relationships really at this point in the show, and we know that she was cut off, so, like, her friends are her family, that's her life, and it makes sense as to why you know, being involved so intimately in Troy and Britta's life and everyone else's is so important to her. But I think that Abed seeing that at a distance kind of waters it down to like, that is who Annie is.
Mm-hmm.
And we did see that a lot. And we see that, like you said, like, of course she's young. She loves love. She loves the idea of love, and she loves the idea of romance and relationships and, you know, neatly tied bows on things. And that's not bad, because she is an optimist and she is this hopeless romantic. And but it is just very interesting that out of all of the things that he pinpoints, like out of all the things he could focus on in her identity, that's the one thing. And it is interesting to me that like Annie kind of zeroes in on very early on the idea that like you need to learn empathy, which is thinking about other people, stop thinking about yourself. And that's how she sees him at this point in the show, which honestly I think is more accurate than the way that Abed sees her to an extent. Maybe. I mean,
I feel like, well, I mean, Abed has never really given like if he has a diagnosis, which is fine. But I feel like someone like Abed, I don't think it's that they don't have empathy. It's like they show it in different ways.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I feel like it, because I felt like, you know, in the end he's like, oh, I learned something new today, empathy. I'm like, no, I don't think that. I think it's just that he learned how to apply it better instead of trying to like control it. He's maybe thinking like, you know, if Britta and Troy get together, these horrible things will happen and that will hurt me. I love Troy. I love Britta. So I need to, you know, make it not happen. But he's thinking like, you know, I don't want to hurt my friends by trying to not get my friends hurt, you know what
I mean? Yeah. No, that does make sense. Like the idea that he learns that meddling or controlling isn't helping. And like, that's kind of also what Annie ends up learning is like, you know, this idea that like, we're very controlling people and our default setting for both of them. And we've talked about this. I've talked about this with Annie. I love Annie, but like her controlling nature is what is most detrimental about her. It's also what helps her get really good grades and be an achieving, you know, talented person.
Yeah.
But it's also what causes her to have division. And same thing with Abed. Like we see that Abed, you know, because he's very meticulous, because he's very focused in a lot of ways, that's not good when it comes to, you can't control life like you would control a TV show, you know, like you can't, you can't apply the same logic because life is different than that. And the uncontrollable nature of life is something that both Annie and Abed incredibly struggle with, is the idea that like life doesn't go the way that you planned or you want, but how you deal with it is how you grow from it. And like you said, Abed at the end of the day, I don't think he just like learned the idea of empathy for the first time. I think what you're saying is accurate. He learned how to apply the concept that he already knew and he knew how to practice, but he learned how to apply it in a situation where he didn't know how to apply it at first. He's like, oh, okay. So like in this situation, here's how I would apply this skill that I have. And so I think that that's a pretty neat thing for them to be able at least to teach each other. I mean, speaking of, love and relationships seem to be something that the show tells us that Abed has difficulty understanding, even though the show also tells us that Abed doesn't have difficulty understanding them, because if you remember season one, he's like, I've got confidence. You know, he's like, doesn't have problems with relationships and girls. But at the same time, then the show's like, but he has trouble understanding this. So I'm like, okay, show, whatever. So that's the catalyst, apparently, for virtual systems analysis. It does feature, we're going to talk about this the next couple of questions, because, so if you'll recall, I will give you the brief plot summary again up until this point of Abed and Annie go into the Dreamatorium, and Abed decides to hide away in other characters. And essentially he pretends to be Jeff while in the Dreamatorium. Like we were saying, that beginning quote, that Grey's Anatomy style hospital, which Greendale Hospital School, which is just so great. And she's looking for Abed, but Abed is nowhere to be found. And instead, Abed, as Jeff, decides to take her back to where she wants to go. And he thinks that where she wants to go is back to season one, Pascal's Triangle Revisited, the season one finale on the steps where Jeff and Annie kissed. It's a big Jeff and Annie discussion in not using Jeff, but using Annie. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this. There is a moment Abed recreates, obviously, from season one, but Annie very strongly reacts to it, where she says, "You are not Jeff because Jeff cares about Abed." Abed seems to think that all Annie cares about is romance. So I realized that I didn't put a question there, but I will put a question there. So what are your thoughts on why Abed chose this particular moment to take Annie where she wants to go? And what do you think that that says about the way that Abed sees maybe Annie and the Jeff Annie of it all?
So I think I can kind of see, you know, how Abed came to that conclusion. Like, I thought about that one episode in season one, Romantic Expressionism, mm-hmm. when Annie falls for Britta's ex,
Vaughn.
Yeah, with the tiny
love
nipples.
Love Vaughn. I miss Vaughn.
And, you know, like, she wasn't able to pick up that Britta really wasn't okay with her dating Vaughn. Like, yeah. I think, you know, Britta was, like she does a lot, tries to like be like, oh, I'm so modern and I don't care about these things. But yeah. you could look at her face and kind of tell. And then yeah. Annie kind of had like an Abed moment, like, this is what I want to do. Like, this person likes me. I'm not even going to think about what that would mean for Britta. I'm just going to, you know, go for it. And I love how Britta like says, like, you know, like, I'm not Juno.
Not Juno, okay, home slice?
Yeah.
Gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious. And, you know, again, like with like, you know, the rich thing, like maybe he thought like, I kind of wondered if she started to like Rich because he was kind of like maybe like a better version of Jeff.
Yeah, I think. And so
maybe she was trying to make him justice. She was like, you know, I'm gonna go ask him out. Mm-hmm. And I
just maybe, try to like, get him to like choose, like make a decision, like mm-hmm. it's like, it's fine. That's why I love that episode for a lot of reasons. But like, she was basically like, look, I don't care how, like, how you feel about me. I mean, I do, but like, can you just decide how you feel about me? Because like, I got stuff to do. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you like me, great. Tell me. If you don't, that's fine too. And he gives her a very non-answer of like, well, relationships mm-hmm. are complicated. She's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Fine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ask Rich out. Nothing complicated about that.
Walk yeah.
the door.
Yeah. So I could definitely see like how Abbott would be like, well, you know, that's what she cares about.
Well, and it's true because, like, she did text Abed in that moment. Like, she was mm-hmm. the, I mean, at least Abed, for whatever reason, whether it was because she wanted Abed to, like, tell Jeff that, or, like, she just wanted to talk to Abed, she, like, mm-hmm. texted Abed and said she asked Rich out and he turned her down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. Like, up until Paradigms of the Human Memory, we talk a little bit about the Jeff Annie of it all. What's really funny that I didn't really pick up on until we did our episode on Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism is that when Officer Kukowski shows up at the apartment, he goes, hey, you look familiar. Did I ever pretend to shoot a guy in front of you to teach you about gun safety? And she's like, yeah. Like, Troy and Abed look very confused. Like, they have uh-huh. no idea that that happened. So I'm like, okay, so clearly, like, we know that Britta, like, angrily eats a French fry at the end of Conspiracy Theories when Jeff starts praising Annie. But like, none of the study group seems to know exactly what went down in the study room. Like, it seems yeah. to be like Jeff and Annie and the dean are the only ones who know really what was said in that room. And what was said in that room was like very emotional. And it was very important because she talks about how he buried her like a shameful secret. Like, she mm-hmm. thought about the kiss. And that's like the most that we get since Anthropology, really, of their kind of feelings or thought process. And this is like the first time since Conspiracy Theories that we get a solid sense of how Annie feels about everything. You know, like, We don't really get her thoughts, and we don't get the study group's thoughts. We get their thoughts and paradigms about Jeff and Britta, but like we don't really get like any of the study group being like how they feel about Jeff and Annie having whatever they're having, because it's starting to develop in season three. So it is interesting that Abed would zero in, and it makes sense because that's the last solid thing he knows happened. Like, he doesn't know that the conspiracy theories thing went down. He knows that they all talked about stuff in paradigms and it got awkward. But he doesn't really know anything beyond that. So it makes sense to me as to why he would think that's the place she wants to go. It was like the last uncomplicated Jeff and Annie interaction. Which I do think is hilarious as to why they justify like how he knows that. Maybe I was there. Maybe Leonard was in the bushes and told me about it, which I just love that.
So. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, to me, it makes sense. I think, you know, we talked about that a little bit earlier about like how whittling Annie's personality down to like hopeless romantic and that's all she is not the case. But in this moment, before Abed and Annie have that really solid conversation at the end of the episode, I think it does make sense as to why Abed would think if Annie wants Troy and Britta to be together so that her and Jeff can be together, here's the place she wants to go to, the last place where things were good with them and not complicated. And like, in a way, that does make sense. I mean, I'm sure in a way that that is part of what Annie wants. But what's really telling why I love that scene so much is that she doesn't want a fake version of Jeff. Like she like tells him, you're not Jeff, which I just love that, because as swept up as she gets in emotion, she's still rooted in some sort of ground of like, no. I don't want some sort of fantasy concoction. Like, I want the real person and you're not him, which oof, like how good though, what like is that of like, she almost gets caught up in like the whole Abed Annie of it all. Because again, Annie likes Abed when he's pretending to be someone else. But this is like the first, but this is the first time where like she doesn't completely fall for it. Like she kind of wounds and does
everything. A little bit almost does it.
Cause like, oh, and then wait, like, no, like, but also the reason why she says that I love is because she realizes like what Abed is saying is not what she wants. Like, it's not the truth, and it's not who Jeff is at this point in the show. Like, Jeff has his flaws for sure, and we talk a lot about them, but like she notices in this episode that like the kind of thing that Jeff would not do is push everyone else aside and just try and get with her, like season one Jeff did with Britta, you know, like so she's like, no, Jeff cares about you, Abed, his friend. He would not do this to him. And I love that, because that is very true at this point in the show, is that Jeff needs the group, and he would not, you know, as much as he is flawed, he cares about Abed. And
definitely.
He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't like do anything to intentionally like really, really hurt him. There's a speech, though, that happens so that we get this little Greendale's where I belong, sort of wearing, I don't think it's the exact, it's not the exact same dress that she has on in Pascal's, but a very similar like dreamy sequence of like Pascal's where, you know, Abed assumes like, this is what you want, right? Like, you want Troy and Britta to happen so that this can happen. And she's like, no, I mean, I thought that they would be cute and this might be a bonus, but like, no, that's not what I want. So she tries to storm off. Obviously, she's in the dreamatorium, runs into a wall.
Right.
As you do. And then things get a little weirder. So we're going to try and break this down as easy as possible with real Annie and Abed as Annie. Because real Annie is kind of contemplating and sitting on the floor, and Abed as Annie decides to pretend to be her and talk about how much she wants. Well, isn't this what you want? Like, you want to be with Jeff. We've got a couple listener questions, obviously, because this is like kind of the crux of like, I knew that there were going to be questions about this. So I'm going to read the speech because listener question from Widino and follow-up question from Matt. Widino asks, how much mental gymnastics do we have to make the Jeff Annie of it all make sense? And follow-up question from Matt, do you buy Annie's speech about Jeff? So here's the speech for those of you who are curious and don't have it memorized. The speech is, but we love Jeff. And the real Annie says, no, we don't. We're just in love with the idea of being loved. And if we can teach a guy like Jeff to do it, then we'll never be unloved. So we keep running the same scenario over and over, hoping for a different result. Let's talk about that speech. Do you buy it? What do you think of it?
I feel like the speech is what her brain is telling her. But like, I think in the heart, I think she still really does like really want to be with Jeff. But like her brain has given her all the reasons why it probably doesn't work. And the reasons why she wants Jeff specifically, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like with that question about, you know, the mental gymnastics and stuff, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, like you think about the episodes where they have like the capers between mm-hmm. those two, like with the Ask Crack Bandit,
yeah,
and the professor thing, yeah. thing and stuff. Like whenever I watch those episodes, I end up going back with like, wait, what happened here? What happened here? That's like Jeff and Annie's relationship. Yeah. Like you're just like, what is actually going on here? Like, yeah. how do you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff's better at like hiding it or just like kind of like acting like it doesn't really matter. But, you know, she's more emotional and it's harder for her to just deal with it all and be like, whatever.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you because like I think that that's the mental gymnastics, like you said, come from like when your heart and your head tell you two different things, right? Like
mm-hmm.
she may or may not at this point love Jeff. I'm not entirely sure how I feel. Come back to me in a couple seasons, people, because like I know for sure in season 3, and we talk about this in Urban Matrimony of the Sandwich Arts, it's very clear in season 3 that Jeff has deeper feelings for Annie. Mm-hmm. I think she's in his heart, people. Like if the show didn't want us to be like, how does Jeff feel about Annie? She's in his heart. Okay. Like,
yeah,
that's clear enough. I think at this point in the show, I think it, you know, seasons 1 and 2, we can clearly see that there's like an infatuation and a chemistry. My personal theory is that Annie's been burned so many times by putting herself out there, and not just with Jeff. You just talked about this, Katrina, with Rich. She put herself out there. She got rejected. She puts herself out there with Jeff in the season 1 finale. He rejects her in the season 2 premiere. She's not going to keep, and she tells him that. And that's why I love that speech in Conspiracy Theory so much for so many reasons. But she says, you buried me like a shameful secret. Like that's not yeah. something that you get over. You feel like someone is ashamed of you and I again implore you all to watch that scene and watch what Joel does with his face, because it's just so good mm-hmm. and so subtle. It's like he's wounded because he didn't realize that he had done that to that extent. And you see her put herself out there and find out that Jeff and Britt are sleeping together in Paradigms. You know, like she's put herself out there with him so much and with other people that I think her intense feeling of like, I want to be loved, but I've been through this before. I know how it ends. How it ends is I get rejected. They choose someone else, whatever happens.
Yeah.
So I think that there is part of it that's true. I think she is in love with the idea of being loved. Like we talked, she's young. Like that's mm-hmm. that's how you feel when you're young. You like there's a part of you that loves being loved. And I think that there's a part of her that loves being loved but doesn't want to risk putting herself out there with Jeff again, because more than she wants to be loved, she wants to be safe and mm-hmm. feel safe. And I don't think at this point she feels safe enough to put herself out there. So they have the long looks. They've got the little lingering flirtatious thing going on in season 3, and that'll carry into season 4. But Jeff's really the one who's got like, he's figuring out that it goes deeper than just like, oh, she's cute. Like she's in his heart. Like that's a big deal. And yeah. he doesn't know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to risk putting herself out there again to be rejected. So at this point, they're at an impasse, like in season three, like they've got really great moments. They got really cute things. So I do believe that she doesn't know for sure if love is the word that she would associate with Jeff. Like I buy that. But I also think that her brain is trying to protect her heart and is saying like, no, you can't do this. Like you can't mm-hmm. love him. Like you just love love. And if you can fix a guy like Jeff, like you can do anything. Like you can never be unloved if you can manage to make a guy like Jeff fall in love with you. But she also, again, does not know at this point that she's already done that. He's like, yeah. she's already in his heart. She doesn't realize that she's just done that by not forcing it or controlling it. Like, which is just a really ironic, hilarious thing to me. And that's why season six's series finale is so heartbreaking and lovely. It's like, these dum-dums never got the timing right. Like,
yeah.
Like he's fallen for her in season three and she's like, okay, I'm gonna not try anything. And if she would have, like, I don't know, maybe Jeff was not ready at this point to admit what that means, like what someone being in your heart actually means. So it probably would not have worked out. But there's a part of me that believes part of this speech. There's another part of me that says, I think it's her trying to protect herself. And like mm-hmm. you said, trying to spin it so that she feels safe, like
yeah
you can justify feeling safe, you know, like because mm-hmm. we all want that. Like no one wants to be rejected, you
know? Right.
Like good grief. Did we answer your questions, listeners? I certainly hope so. It's a very deep scene. Like it's a very brief scene, a very deep scene, because also, like we mentioned, it's something I don't honestly know that Annie's really processed with anyone, you know, like
mm-hmm.
Abed's telling her this thing like, oh, you love Jeff. And she's like processing aloud, probably for the first time, like how she actually feels.
Yeah.
Which is also why I love this episode. It's nice. Yeah. Did you have any other thoughts about like this kind of the deep Abed Annie, any of the Jeff Annie stuff before?
Well, I was going to say like with the whole ACB, like, cause like, I know they've kind of alluded to Annie mm-hmm. being a bandit. Mm-hmm. And I think about that and it's like, and the dean was like, you know, what's going on between you two in that episode? He's like, what is this? You guys are just pulling capers so you guys can, like, you know, hold hands and stuff in the dark. And I'm like, you know, what if she did that? Because, like, if she was the ACB, like, that just seems so out of character for her. But yeah. if she were to do that because she's like, well, I get to do this thing with Jeff and he'll, mm-hmm. you know, do this with me and we can be close but still not go all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me even more willing to buy that she could be it, but then I'm like, she definitely would have had some help.
She could. Yeah. She definitely had some little help. It is hilarious because like that is the lingering question. I feel like, it's when are we getting the community movie and who is the actual ACB? It's like, look, the show told us that it was Annie, but it definitely had to be more than just Annie because there's mm-hmm. no way that she had help. Like, yeah. Let's be real. But yeah, it does make sense because like, I think too, if you really think about it, like those capers are the place where they can really be themselves with each other, where they can be honest with each other. Cause it's like Jeff gets to be silly a little bit, you know, like he mm-hmm. doesn't get to like let loose. Annie and him just naturally are a fit to team up. And they do that so often because obviously it's just such a great chemistry between the two of them. And I think the idea is 100% accurate. Like, I think that they enjoy teaming up because it means that they can be close, but also like not have to deal with the complexities of what that means. And at both points in their stories, wherever they happen to be in their stories. They're usually at places where they don't want to bridge that gap. It's really funny because up until season six, I mean, really up until season five, Annie gets that little speech at the very end of season five where we obviously learn that Jeff's feelings for Annie open the door and whatever. But, you know, she doesn't put herself out there again. Like, she does mm-hmm. not with Jeff. Like, if you track it for the rest of the series, she's not the one who's, like, trying to make a move or confess a feeling. Like, Jeff is the one that has to do that because Annie is, I think this episode is very clear evidence that, like, she is afraid to do that, and rightfully so, because if you keep getting rejected, why would you do the same thing? Like, why would you do the thing that gets you rejected? Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't think she's going to be accepted or chosen or loved by Jeff. So, you know, it's easier to put it in her head and keep it in her head than it is to actually act on it, because once again, no one's going to keep doing a thing where they keep getting hurt, because that means you're a masochist and yeah. no one wants to do that. So like when we finally see movement on that front in the very end of the series, it is Annie stepping aside and saying, you know what? Like, I'm not going to put myself, like, cause she could have very easily at the very end of season five, like said, like, don't be with Britta. Like, this is stupid. I have mm-hmm. feelings for you. And at that point in the series, Jeff clearly knew that he had feeling strong enough for Annie that they were going to open the door. Like, he was just trying, which is very interesting. We'll get to it when we get to it. But like, he tries everyone else first, and then it's like, oh, the m'lady m'lord is what did it. Yeah. But even so, she's not like the one who's going to stand up and say, this is how I feel about you. Even when she says that she's leaving, again, why I love the end of the show, it's Jeff who's going to be like, I let you go. And she's like, not sure how to handle that, because I don't think she ever expected that honesty. So in season three, you know, she's obviously got feelings, but she's not going to act on them, because she's a smart girl and she doesn't want to get hurt. And, you know, I can't fault her for that. Let's be real. None of us want that. So, so this is a fun listening question from Jeffrey Malone, who's on our Origins of Vampire Mythology episode. Does Troy understand Inception yet? Because if not, I'm happy to watch it with him. I'm sorry we didn't cover the extensive Troy truth serum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just great, because it's not even Troy. It's fake Troy. It's Abed as Troy confessing all of these things, which I don't know if you have a favorite, but obviously I love that it ends with the fact that he just says, I don't get Inception. I love, like,
the pajamas thing.
The pajamas thing.
He prefers women in pajamas and not lingerie.
They're comfortable.
That made me go, Troy. Yeah, it touched me.
Once again, Abed as Troy. So, like, I love that Abed knows all of these things about Troy that Troy would confess. It's just so great. Do we think that Troy understands Inception? I mean, he's had many years to wash it. Do any of us get Inception?
I actually didn't watch it. I had someone try to explain it to me, but it wasn't just like, I may watch that one day, but that doesn't really sound like my thing.
Not sure any of us understand Inception, so let's be real. I think we're all Troy. I mean, obviously, like, I watched Inception. I really enjoyed it out of all of the Christopher Nolan stuff. I do mm-hmm. find that one to be enjoyable, but it's like dreams within dreams, and the end, I think, is what Troy probably is still struggling with, which, for any of you who have watched Inception, I'm sure there are tons of theories as to whether it's a dream or reality or all of that.
Yeah.
Poor Troy. There's lots of things, but, you know, I would like to believe that Troy understands Inception now, but let's be real. I don't feel like any of us can say with certainty that we understand it. So, you know, there's that. This is a good listener question from Emma. This episode always reminds me of the Janet's episode of The Good Place. Any thoughts on the similarities and differences between them?
So I had only seen a couple of episodes of The Good Place, but when I saw the question, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to watch that episode.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I love it.
How she just got all of the different characters, their personalities and stuff. And she's doing way more characters than like Ovid.
Yeah, well, because like the thing is like in Janet's, first of all, if you have not watched The Good Place, everyone go watch The Good Place. It is genius. It is wonderful. I have a little Eleanor Shellstrop sitting on my desk currently. The thing with Janet's is that it's Darcy Carden just doing all of these characters, whereas in this episode, it technically is the actors doing like their own characters, even though they're supposed to be Ovid's. Like it's Joel McHale who's playing Ovid as Jeff, not like Danny Pudi just playing, even though to be fair, we've seen these people do wonderful character work in and of themselves. So in that sense, I feel like it's obviously different because it's not just one actor imitating all of the other characters. Like it's the actual actors who are playing them in the Dreamatorium, quote unquote. But it did give me that feeling when I thought about it, because again, it is an unpacking of characters. It's a character study ultimately of Chidi and Eleanor and that kind of thing. So there are those moments that made me think like, oh yeah, I can see how those would be paralleled. Like if you watched them close together, obviously The Good Place was years after Community, but I really enjoy both episodes. And this episode does end very sweetly. So obviously we talked about the fact that Abed and Annie have this conversation about whether or not she loves Jeff. And then Annie decides that she can imitate Abed. So she pretends to be Abed. And then a fake Chang security guard arrests Abed and throws him in a locker, which is where apparently Abed spent a lot of his time in school because he did not fit in. And that's one of the things I like, this little humanizing conversation between Annie and Abed about like the little monologue of like, you're worried that you don't fit in. Like that makes you more human than anyone. Like that's all of us. We all worry that we don't fit in. And that means that you will never not fit in. Like, you know, that means that you belong here because you share that with us. And I think that was a really sweet conversation, because it was this idea that like, if this is your worry, that makes you like have a family, because we all share that. Like we share that common bond of like being so worried that we won't fit in. And that seems to be the thing that like really does help Abed and Annie come to their resolution, is like, hey, we're both worried about this thing. We're both controlling people. We're both worried that we won't fit in or that we'll be rejected. And that's what we have in common. And Abed even lets Annie play Inspector Spacetime in the Dreamatorium, which is so fun. Also watch the bloopers of this episode. It's real fun to watch the bloopers of this. Mostly because Alison Brie fakes a British accent and she goes in it. Like, and she cannot get through many things. It's great. Yeah. And then obviously the episode actually ends with Troy and Britta. We didn't talk about it, but Troy and Britta have an adorable little lunch together. Mm-hmm. She likes that he's worried about Abed. It's sweet. And then everyone comes back from their 3-hour lunch to continue studying. And Abed compliments Annie and says that she did well in a pinch. And that's very sweet. And so that's kind of what the gist of this episode is. So, Katrina, did you have any thoughts on anything we didn't talk about that you'd like to talk about?
So there was one thing that I noticed in this episode with Abed. And I saw it again in the next season at the Inspector Space Time convention. He's giving me fanboy, evil fanboy vibes a little bit. Like he didn't like Melora and he didn't like the character that he made Annie play, which makes sense. It's like he doesn't like this character, so he's going to make Annie play it because he's already irritated. And I'm like, do you like any of the ladies? Spectre space time.
Like, it does feel very Doctor Who-y fandom, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, exactly. So it's like, I want to know, like, what would he feel about Jodie Whittaker? Like, it would break my heart if he didn't like her.
That would be really sad. It kind of does feel like, it kind of does feel like that. Like, Abed is very purist when it comes to fandoms, it feels like, and like fans and liking things. And so it's kind of like, oh man, yeah, how would he feel about like a female doctor? Like, would he be with everyone else? Like, if the majority said this, would he also feel that way? So like, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. I think about that. And then like to see him like on DuckTales with David Tennant, which blows my mind every time I watch crazy, it.
Isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I explained that to a friend of mine. I was like, yeah, DuckTales, as in here are the voices from DuckTales. Ben Schwartz of Wonderful Parks and Rec, Danny Pudi, David Tennant, Kate Micucci, like, who are all these, how are all these people, like,
Jim Rash,
like, is in it? Like, going through the cast list, and they're like, oh my gosh, there's so many people, it's like,
Jim and Padgett, like, they're both, and she plays Danny's mom, and it's, like, blowing my mind, it's just, like, all these different fandoms world just rolling colliding. In my head, I just feel like my head is going to explode,
fandoms
but I love
colliding.
It.
So great, it's so great. Well, speaking of fandoms colliding, this is so much fun, Katrina, because I love that we have multiple fandom overlap and that community is one of them. So I'm so glad that you got to join me for this episode. And
yes,
such a blast talking to you. And yeah, guys, this is like a really, I mean, it's a funny episode too, but like it's a real deep character study on Abed and Annie. And I, for the most part, I think I really liked what they had to say about the characters and that we see some incremental growth after this point with both of them. So I'm very excited to continue season 3, but thank you for joining me for Virtual Systems Analysis. This is so much fun. Obviously we've got 2 questions to wrap up. So I'm going to ask this question and then I'm going to let people, you know, find and follow you and all of the wonderful stuff that you're doing. So before we do that, what is one piece of media? It can be a book, a TV show, a film, a podcast, etc., from either a Black, Indigenous, person of color creator and or featuring Black men and women, Indigenous people, or people of color that you would like to encourage our listeners to consume this week?
So for your Hamilton episode, you had Connie on.
Gosh.
And
Connie, I
stand her so much. I try not to be weird about it. Like, I'll just like comment her things every once in a while. Like, well, hello, I'm alive. Be my friend.
Love her.
Love her. Yeah, I you know, she was on, but like I was surprised that she didn't like say anything about her own podcast, which I love. Like, she does this podcast called Tarbis. It's Time and Relative Blackness in Space, and it's her, Robin, and Bayana, and they just talk about all things Doctor Who, and they kind of give like a Black female perspective, and they say the things that I scream at the TV sometimes but no one else is screaming. So like whenever like the episodes would air, like I would kind of like make sure I was following their timeline, just so like I could see like, okay, you felt that too, okay.
Yeah.
So I think it would be good just for Whovians just to kind of see like, you know, what other people think about different things, and you know, you might learn something. And I love that show. Like, they're on hiatus right now, but they have like a lot of episodes you can catch up on, and character studies and stuff.
Yeah, 100% do that. We love Connie. Ran into her at Target during
I saw that.
It was so funny. We did not expect to see each other, because we had planned, you know, pandemic to not actually see each other. But
yeah,
Connie is great. We will definitely link that in our show notes. And then for me, because Chelsea knows this, and I tell her this all the time, that I watch movies very late. I famously do not watch movies. I watched for the first time this year The Farewell, which was from 2019. It was written and directed by Lulu Wang. It stars Awkwafina, and she is obviously fantastic. It is available on Amazon Prime to watch. And essentially the plot is that this family, their matriarch is dying, but no one is going to tell her that she has a terminal cancer. And so they all make this trip to China. It's this Chinese family, and they spend time with her. And it's a really, really great film. It's a very, very lovely look at family dynamics and expectations. And I cried at the end of it, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just a really, really sweet, great film. And I highly recommend everyone watch it because it will make you feel all of the feelings. So,
all the feels.
So if you're feeling like, you know what, I want like a good cry, like not a, you know, I hate the world cry, just like a good cathartic cry and a really great story, I highly recommend watching The Farewell. So do that. But Katrina, it was so great to have you here. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now tell people, where can they find and follow the stuff that you're doing?
So you were on my podcast. It's called Yay! Quirky Pop. And it's just a show there I talk about just different real life and fictional quirky beings, and I add a little bit of social science because like my undergrad major is in human development, and I would write my papers about different theories and talk about different characters. Like I did like my first episode, Little Mermaid, I applied like the ABCX theory on family, how families like cope with stress and stuff. But like I do all sorts of little things like that. Like the episode that we did together is Psych. I can't wait for that to come out a little later this year. But you can find that on, you know, most places where you can pick up podcasts. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Quirky Pop Podcast. And I'm also on Facebook. And yeah, I just got a website. It's called www.quirkypoppodcast.com.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yes, go give her a follow. It was so much fun to talk to you about Psych, and I'm excited for people to hear about that. So, and I know that, you know, you've been around the community podcasters a little bit too, so that's exciting. So, thank you so much, obviously, for joining. And then for those of you who don't know, for us, obviously, follow us on Twitter at COMM Rewatch Pod. We are also on Instagram at Community Rewatch. Check out our pinned tweet, which is always our pinned tweet, and donate if you're able to the Loveland Therapy Fund for Black Women and Girls, because everyone deserves to have access to mental health resources. And what we love about this is that it pairs Black women and girls with Black therapists, and that is very important. So do that. And obviously our last question, since this is a community rewatch podcast, is what's one thing that you're currently rewatching, or what's something that you enjoy rewatching?
So other than Community, because I watch that literally every day. I would say like my second go-to was like the Golden Girls. Like I can't get enough of those old ladies. And, I mean, I watched it when I was a little kid and I didn't understand a lot of the jokes, and now I get all of the jokes. I'm just like, wow.
That's
like
the best. That's the best when you're like, oh, this went over my head as a kid.
Oh, definitely.
I love that. I love that so much. Chelsea's really going to appreciate that because she's a huge Golden Girls fan. So there you go, Chelsea. And so weirdly, I don't know why I decided to do this, probably because it was just easily accessible on Hulu and it might have come up on a like For You recommendation. I've just been rewatching a bunch of like episodes of Modern Family because it's one of those shows where like I definitely watched it for a period. I feel like probably because when it was in syndication, like I watched a lot of episodes that would just like keep playing. So it's kind of what I'm doing now, is just watching a bunch of episodes in a row and just being like, oh, I don't think I ever actually saw this one or this season, or I vaguely remember this thing happening. And it is really exciting because I am at the season currently where Megan Gans was on. I know, I feel like she was on for a couple seasons, but I definitely saw her name in the credits and I was like, hey, Community. And then, of course, you guys know I'm in a perpetual New Girl rewatch. I'm never not rewatching New Girl. So, I mean, Jamie and I, maybe we'll start a podcast after this one about New Girl. So, yeah. So, again, oh my gosh, thank you so much for joining me. This is a blast. listeners, I hope that you learned some things, that we got you to feel and think about some things in virtual systems analysis. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Community Rewatch podcast. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts these days so you don't miss an episode. If you want to follow along with our content on social media, you can follow us at COMM Rewatch Pod on Twitter or at Community Rewatch on Instagram. Many, many thanks to Chelsea Eichels for putting together today's episode. We're so glad that you chose to go back to Greendale with us. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.